morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. I don't think there are any announcements this morning. Am I forgetting anything? What? Oh, yes, I did forget that one because I won't be here. So I am going to be on vacation next week, but next Sunday, the Reverend John White is coming to fill in for me, which I'm told is going to be wonderful and exciting. So please plan to mark your calendar for that and come if you are able. Sorry, I think that's everything. Let us begin our worship service today with our call to worship. Come, listen to the one who speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Come, see the one who shines forth in the perfection of beauty. Come, bring thanksgiving, the sacrifice that honors the one who shows the salvation of God. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our song of reflection, Forever. The lyrics will be on the screen. For our prayer of confession. God, forgive us. Our communion is not always visible to the world. Sometimes we allow threats to unity to enter the church, making it hard to see that we are your community. We act as though we do not need each other. We do not always love one another. We do not know and bear one another's burdens. We fail to build each other up. We do not always give ourselves willingly and joyfully to one another. Forgive us and strengthen us so that we may live in the unity that you grant us. Join with me now for our words of assurance. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now greet one another in faith. Good morning.
Prayer requests for the Canes. Prays that friend Barbara Rankin is healing from shoulder surgery. Prayers that the Main Ear family has a safe and restful vacation and return home safely at the end of the week. We have a prayer request for Michael Seggy from Kathy. He is not working presently and trying to find a job. He is having some serious depression issues and financial problems. Prayers he finds his way, comes back to God, and resolves his financial issues. Also from Kathy, for Wade, who's a cousin. He's having severe medical issues and was told he only has up to 6 months to live. Prayers he learns to accept God and feels his peace. Pray for comfort as he declines in health. He's at Cheswick Rehab. And this is from an anonymous person. Prayer for those lost loved ones in the mass shootings in Texas and Ohio. May God give the families comfort and turn our hearts of stone to hearts of love.
At this time, I invite you to rise with me and join me in our hymn of preparation, All Who Love and Serve Your City, number 351. Seated. Please pray with me. O God, you have assured us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in Him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Let us now pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Today, Lord, we pray for Wayne. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we lift up to you today, Michael Sagi. We pray that he would be able to find work. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, today we pray yet again for your children cut down in a hail of gunfire, this time in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. We ask that you would comfort those who mourn, heal the hurting, strengthen the helpers. Grant courage to your people that we may do everything required to stop the killings in our streets. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that Barbara had a successful shoulder surgery. We pray that you'd be with the Main Ear family as they are on vacation. We pray that you'd bring them back safely at the end of the week. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, You have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering.
Reading comes from Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then he told them the parable, the land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is the parable of the rich fool. In it, Jesus warns that money has the ability to actually impoverish our souls and cause us to rewrite our values. The parable goes like this. A rich man works hard, and his land produces an abundance of crops. He produces so many extra crops that his barns actually can't store the excess. So what does he decide to do? He decides to tear down his existing barns and build new, bigger storage barns to hold them in. The rich man lives out the rest of his days relaxing, eating, drinking, and entertaining himself. confident that he has enough excess crops to withstand any kind of drought or failure in years to come. Instead of rewarding this rich man for his hard work, Jesus admonishes him. "You fool," Jesus says. "This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is for those who store up treasures in heaven, but are not rich towards God." I imagine that many of us are sitting here going, "What's so wrong about saving and storing our excess crops?" All of us in this room, I imagine, try to put away a little bit of money every month to save for future emergencies or even for retirement. Isn't it wise for us, like the rich man, to save something for a rainy day? I don't think this is what Jesus is upset about. The problem is not that the rich man stored his excess crops. The problem is that the rich man didn't balance his concern for his future with Jesus' injunction that he care for his neighbor, particularly his neighbors that are poor or marginalized. Jesus takes issue with the fact that the man in our parable can't see beyond what is his excess crops, his barns, his relaxation, his food, his drink, his entertainment. The rich man forgets that it is God that makes all of his excess possible. Yet nowhere in the parable does the rich man give thanks to God for his abundance. The rich fool forgets that all created life is bound by death. No matter how many excess possessions we have, everyone is bound by a timeline outside of their control. And we can't take our excess with us when we die. The man's final problem is that he fails to recognize the ways in which him having excess has made him greedy. You'll notice as you read the parables of Luke, Jesus reminds us over and over again that we have to be careful because money can make us do things we wouldn't otherwise do. Money can cause otherwise ordinary and hardworking people to end up existing in their own self-absorbed universe, not giving a damn about anybody or anything else. When money awakens our greed, it erodes our capacity for community. Nowhere is it more obvious whether a person is a rich fool or a person rich toward God than when a person is dying. One of the most beautiful, but also the most painful part of pastoral ministry is ministering to the dying. People think I'm crazy when I say this, but I have found it to be true. People die the way they lived. Imagine with me for a moment a man or a woman you know that lived their life in service to others. A man who was constantly giving away his excess possessions to the least of these in his community. A man who suffered through innumerable band concerts that his grandchildren begged him to attend. A man who continued to learn new things well into his sunset years. This man is able to meet death, comforted by the fruits of a life well lived, surrounded by the people that he dedicated his life to serving. His funeral will be sad, but it will also be hopeful. As one by one, his family and friends and neighbors stand up and bear witness to the difference this man made in their lives. On the other hand, imagine with me for a moment a man or a woman who lived their life in service to themselves. A man who single-handedly pursued wealth, relaxation, and entertainment. One who was actually quite successful in his pursuits. Death is going to be long and painful for him. This is a man who is going to yell at his nurses, quarrel with his family, and insist that no expense be spared at his funeral. If he suffers from a terminal illness, he will face the final days of his life fighting the inevitable instead of receiving it as grace. Unlike the man who dedicated his life to others, man who dedicated his life to himself, his funeral is going to be a joyous occasion. Because everyone gathered that day is going to be relieved of the burden of having to care for such an exasperating man. Friends, the good news of our scripture passage for today is that we have some choice in whether or not we become a rich fool or a man who is rich towards God. Our parable teaches us that rich fools use their excess for their own amusement, whereas men who are rich towards God use their excess for the benefit of their neighbors in need. They sell their possessions because they know that God is going to take care of them. They give their things away to establish a lasting treasure for themselves in heaven. This week, our text challenges us to reflect on what does it mean for us to be a people that are rich towards God? Instead of banking on more and on larger storage bins, figuring out how God invites us all to be part of an economy of grace and mercy. This week, our challenge is to reflect on what do we do with our own excess crops? Now, here, I don't think Jesus is only talking about money or food. I'm imagining he's talking about those of us who have craft rooms that are bursting with supplies and unfinished projects, but we have no one to give these projects to and no one to teach how to knit. I imagine he's talking about those of us that have garages that are littered with fancy and expensive power tools, but who have granddaughters or even neighbors that don't know how to change a flat tire. I imagine he's talking about those of us like me that have three offices that are stuffed to bursting with books, yet have youth in her community that don't know how to read. I think this week our text is challenging us to identify one thing that we do well enough that we can teach it to someone else. Now, what we teach someone else can be as simple as teaching a 5-year-old how to tie her shoes, where we continue to be patient with her, even though it feels like the 673rd time we have explained how to do this. It can be as complicated as teaching our parents how to use Instagram. No, it's not Facebook. Yes, you have to hold the camera higher than grandma, or she's going to have a double chin in this picture from her 90th birthday party. We do this not necessarily so mom will be great at Instagram, but to help mom feel more connected to a world that is moving faster than she is. The point of this exercise is not necessarily to make someone an expert in whatever you're teaching them. The 5-year-old still may have trouble tying their shoes. Mom may never be an Instagram influencer. But the point point of this exercise is to spend time with someone, especially in these lazy summer months when the youth are bored and the elderly are lonely. In giving away your time, you communicate to someone else how much they matter to you. And in the process, you establish a lasting treasure for yourself in heaven. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to remain seated for our communion hymn. It's number 523. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
Greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and redeemed them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve you, and to live in peace, your creation. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your boundless love revealed to us in Jesus Christ, we take bread and share the cup, giving ourselves to you to live for him in joy and praise.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these who are gifts of bread and wine. Let the bread be great and the cup be blessed. May be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. On the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God. Body of Christ. Blood of Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us with this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may you rise for our closing hymn, which is...
which is number 716, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. let me say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.